No, how much time now?
Excuse me, that's going to be the extent for the answering of that question, but next on the stack
is... I'm sorry, John, I just misspoke.
Okay, excuse me, let's go back.
I'm sorry, I apologize, I think I said 20, 25 hours a week, I meant a month.
Yeah,
I apologize.
No, you're on me.
We received two resignations. I mean, okay, now Sonali is next on the stack, and then...
We have only 4 minutes into this agenda, so we need to close this stack.
I think we can take Sonali.
My question is similar to Israel's, but what I specifically wanted to know from the candidates was whether they feel completely committed to attending every single meeting, because unless you're actually here, if our secretary, for example, misses one meeting, we're screwed, right? Who takes the minutes? And I think that I sort of wonder, like, this is an unpaid job, so I hope that our candidates are really, you must have some superhuman commitment to taking a day. Grace being on the board, of course, has a commitment, she's part of the board, but I'm just, not that that should bias us in favor of her, but I'd like to hear from the candidates whether they really truly feel committed or really in a realistic way feel that they can attend every single meeting.
Okay, now we're actually going to go around and take the 5 responses. I'm going to ask you to keep it fairly brief, just make it fairly clear. Let's begin
on procedure.
On procedure.
Why don't you have them write down the questions and answer them? Each one answers those questions.
Wait, excuse me. One moment. Wait. Let's deal with this one. Okay, Ed, I do not understand what you're
saying. The people on the staff pose their questions now. Have each candidate answer them and say on.
Okay, now, the problem we have is, we have how much time on this agenda item?
2 minutes.
We have 2 minutes. So unless there's an extension, we need to take the responses here. So I'm going to just rule that we're going to take responses from the 5, but in about 20 to 30 seconds. Bella, commitment. Bella.
Well, my commitment has been steadfast since 1997. To the extent that I have sacrificed a great deal of my time for KPFK. I do not advertise with a sign on my forehead, but I do many things in the background for the betterment of the sustainability and the long-term life of KPFK, not just KPFK, but Pacifica.
Thank you.
And on that vein, I would rearrange my furniture very soon.
Thank you very much. And Casey?
I've been coming to the meetings anyway, so I would come. And if I'm not elected, instead of rearranging my furniture, I'll actually clean it.
Marjorie.
Well, I do need to ask. This meeting is today on Saturday, but I noticed the next one's on July or something's on Thursday night. Do they switch back?
They rotate. Weekends, weeknights.
I would say I am a lawyer, and there are times I have to be in trial or something, and so those week ones would be more difficult for me than if it were every Saturday. I certainly make my best effort.
And they go until like late as well.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Now, let's go to Carol.
To answer your question succinctly, before I committed to being here today, I talked to Don to find out what the commitment was going to be.
I was very truthful with her, and she okay, before we take David's question, let's take our last response from Grace.
I'm usually here. But I would like to have some, in case I need to take a day off or I get sick or something, there needs to be an alternate.
Okay.
30 minutes is over.
It's over.
A question, a yes or no?
Yes
question.
Or no, go ahead.
If you're not elected, will you serve on board?
Okay, now in as much as we would have that extension, I'm glad that David raised that, because there are many ways people can serve. I mean, these candidates are extraordinary, and we have the CAB, Community Advisory Board, we have committee, so there are many, many other things that we would follow up with. But I'm going to declare the agenda item over and move to voting unless there's a motion to extend.
No. Motion to extend by 2 minutes to hear the answer.
How about 5 minutes? Because I have a question.
Second.
Okay, now we have two.
I withdraw.
Okay. I'm going to recognize Maria.
Wait a minute, we have to vote.
Excuse me, you did not understand what I'm doing. I'm recognizing Maria Armudian because I believe she has a motion to extend, and I'm obligated to recognize her.
Okay.
All right, go ahead, Maria.
Well, I'm moving to extend by 5 minutes. It seems like there are a couple more questions.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to extend for 5 minutes.
I'll second that.
Well, it is moved and seconded. If there's no discussion, we can go right to a vote.
I object.
Okay, this discussion over the motion. Go ahead.
I object. It's not necessary. You need to call the question. I want to call the question.
Excuse me. One moment. We have a motion that was made and seconded. Now we're doing discussion. I recognize Donna.
Okay.
Perfectly appropriate for her now to discuss the motion. Discuss the motion.
Okay. I want to call the question.
Oh, okay.
That's how I want to discuss the motion.
Is there a second for the call to question? One moment. There's a point of order. David?
At the end of time, the debate is closed. We don't need to vote to close the debate at time.
The motion is to extend. The motion is to extend the time. Seeing no further discussion, may we go to a vote?
Yes.
All right, those who wish to extend for 5 minutes will vote yes, and the opposite. Yes, raise your card if you're voting to extend.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Those opposed.
No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Abstention. The motion failed. There is an extension. There's one extension. Razor, were you abstain? Okay, there were two abstentions. The motion fails. The agenda item is closed with the exception of actually voting. And what we're going to do is to ask the special working group to distribute ballots, and I believe we're going to have a statement from the working group. David, Chair recognizes Jack Benny.
Okay, first, I have 19 qualified voters, is that correct? And one of the officers there.
Yes, now, the only person, let's see, our pro tem is not voting, so we have like
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19.
Okay, one moment. I think she brings up a good point.
Different voting.
It's different voting. The election of its own secretary and its own treasurer is happening. We won't take board votes on KPFK LSV business until after public comment.
Okay.
But the voting on secretary and treasurer can proceed. And I believe it is 19. Is that right? Is that what everyone counts? So the answer to your question, Jack. All right, now, we have a card in the air. So we have two cards in the air. So the chair is going to recognize Ed Pearl. I don't know if it's the point. Yes, go ahead.
If I'm not mistaken, you carried Grace as part of your line cluster.
All right, we won't be able to proceed until we have order, so I'm going to ask for order in the room.
Okay, point of clarification.
All right, now, I recognize Madeline.
Okay, now, Grace indicated that perhaps the secretary job could be shared, so, I mean, that was kind of...
Okay.
My thought?
See, I'm going to rule on this.
Okay.
I'm going to rule that it is absolutely true that it can be shared. So the individual who's elected secretary can ask for the help of Terry and Ray and the other candidates.
Okay.
But inasmuch as our candidates came here informed that there would be a vote to name, I'm going to rule that we proceed with the election
and
collaboration should occur at the highest level.
No.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, the voting members are receiving ballots. Now, David, did you have... No.
Thank you.
And my view is this would be for secretary and treasurer, or you know, but separate, they're separate ballots. Now let me get a sense of the body. Is it possible for us to continue with LSB business while people are voting? You'll notice that the next agenda item is for Pacifica National Board Director's Report. So while we're voting, I think we could go ahead. Before I recognize Israel, I do once again want to say thank you to all candidates who came. We're deeply grateful. You're going to be part of this community regardless of the outcome of the election, because we're not going to let anyone get away who's as committed as you are.
On a fundamental public comment, I've submitted an application for treasurer. I hear nothing of it.
To whom did you submit that?
Ms. Fontaine had me put it under your door the last day. I only heard that cart the last day. I called Ken. I called Steve. They knew nothing of the cart about this presentation.
Okay.
I forced Dan to listen to the recording. He told Steve about the details. I called Steve on that last day. I made up the envelope. I made up the application. And I talked to Ms. Fontaine. They put it under your door. She said she hadn't seen you that day.
I have not received that.
Can we have
him brought this, please? All right, no, we need to resolve this. One moment. Apparently, Doug submitted an application for treasurer. I'm totally honest with you. I have never seen it, and I've been in my office as late as last night. Did what door? 104? Did you put it on? Okay, I have never seen this application.
Oh, it was timed in for a week, whatever.
It was posted on the website for week 1 month.
Yeah, but the point is, I never saw it. Okay, now this alter thing.
Can I get a ballot?
On that
line
of day.
Okay, I'm going to actually, I'm thinking about how to deal with this, so I'm going to actually take three people in order, Israel, Jan, and Julie.
To finish my public comment, I'll withdraw my application. My point is, the level of communication in that station is bizarre, and I think the board needs to do governance. I will have excellent candidates also.
Okay, Doug, thank you so much, because this would have a complicated thing. I have never seen such
a read it. It's a nice little bit, 100 words.
Okay, I'm so sorry. I have not seen that application. Okay, and we approve. And incidentally, we do have public comment coming up fairly soon, and you will qualify again to make your comments in public comment. Because Doug has withdrawn the application, which I'm sorry to say I've never seen, we appreciate his step to uncomplicate, which I believe is going to become complicated. While we are voting, I'm going to ask that we go to the next agenda item. You will fold your ballots and give them directly to Jack or any member of the working group. Now, can we move to agenda item 4? Okay, the chair recognizes Sherna.
Can I suggest we have a terrific written report from Dave Adelson and also from Donna that we take 3 minutes to read these instead of having Dave regurgitate it all when we have it in front of us, and then we can have discussion.
All right.
Point of order.
Go ahead, please.
For everybody who's on a meter, you better go down and put some more money in the meter.
Now, this might be an answer to our prayers. Shall we take a 3 minute meter break and read this report while you're walking, putting in quarters?
Well, a teller stand by the door, please, to collect ballots on our way.
Anyone have change?
I've got a whole thing of things.
You should put quarters in your meeting. You know, the working group, I'm going to bring the group back to order, and you can address them again. Jack, as hard and so on. They're afraid they're going to get tickets if they don't put quarters in their meeting. The people, let's make this a very quick break. Jack, I believe I did not get ballots. Oh, here they are. Oh, here.
Okay.
We're going to come back together in 3 minutes, so let's make this very, very quick.
Where's the national minutes that he was report that he was that was written?
Oh, you mean David?
Yeah.
Oh.
You didn't get one.
Yeah.
Okay, let's break it. Do we have We don't have to put an ID number.
You do not. Where did you see that? That was in Kansas City. We have a larger election. In other words, would you sign in the
Well, here's what you said, get up to the top of the
Immediately prior to the PNB report.
That's correct.
Okay, before we go ahead...
What is information, Marie? We can't even vote until after public comment.
Yeah, we would have to wait
for
public comment.
We have to be able to vote anyway.
I have another point of information.
People, let me explain something that's happening in this meeting that I notice happens in very small rooms. We kind of lose it. Frankly, the election working committee was called upon to make a statement about how to vote. They never made that statement because someone shouted out and the whole meeting was detoured because someone shouted out. Then ballots were handed out and the election committee was very upset that while I called on Jack Van Aken to make a statement, someone shouted out, the meeting was detoured, and they never made a statement about the voting. I mean, we were out of order. So I'm going to ask you to wait to be called upon, so don't just shout out, because it really means that the meeting then goes haywire. I've checked, and it appears the voting is good anyway, but their instructions on how to vote were never given because someone had shouted out, and the whole meeting was detoured. Okay, at the present time, just so we can discuss it, is there a second to the Marie Deary motion to move?
Yes. I make a second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Now we can discuss that motion.
Point
and the
of
chair,
information.
The chair, I'm sorry. What
point
is
of information. That's
okay, so the chair is going to recognize, will recognize the point of information, and then the staff will be Sherna, Jan, and David. Let's write this down. Sherna, Jack, David, and get my voice up. Okay.
Is addressed to Marie.
Okay.
Is it her,
Israel.
Is it her intention and desire to actually vote on her motion or simply to present it?
To vote.
Well, in that case, I think it's not realistic.
That's not a part of the plan.
Yeah. Okay.
The
now,
first part was.
I was.
Okay. So let's go to the staff. Sherna.
The PNB item is 30 minutes or so to it. If you simply put the Management Review Committee report first, that will give Marie an opportunity to participate before she has to leave. It will not give her the opportunity to vote, no matter what we do.
Jack.
We made a rule for ourselves. A tradition, I don't even know if it's a rule, to vote on things after public comment. It is not part of the bylaws, it is nothing else. It is just something that we did to generally make things work in a certain way. However, this meeting has been in going on for 2 hours now. And I think that it's important that board members be able to vote and that we proceed. It's more important, or it is certainly equally important, and it's very important to me that board members vote and that we not, what always happens, or what happens many times, is that we have these extremely long meetings and they get prolonged by, extensions of time and all kinds of things.
Okay, so your point is...
My point is, I would like to make a motion to waive our general tradition rule or whatever, of not voting until after public comment, and move this particular vote to earlier on so that the board member or members that have to leave, this is very important, and can have...
I second that.
Okay, now I just have to rule that, in a way, that motion is out of order for this reason. We have a motion that has nothing to do with what you just moved that we need to resolve first. Then I will come back to you, and you can make that motion. But the first motion is to move the agenda item.
Okay, so I'm in support of moving that, and then I will make another motion.
Very good.
David.
Yeah, a couple things. One, I think we could, as a point of, as a matter of privilege and respect to the member that has to leave, allowed Marie to make some comments about that. But I think that we all have schedules, I, for example, have to leave because I'm catching a plane later today. So I'll be leaving at 1:45, 2 o'clock at the latest. But wait, the point I want to make is if we begin adjusting schedules after we've approved agendas to fit the schedules of individual members, then it becomes a thing of whose schedule has preference over whom.
Yeah.
Whose. It takes a two-thirds majority to do, and I don't think it's good as a precedent. What I would recommend is that we, prior to 10 minutes before Marie has to leave, ask her to make her comments on that motion that she worked on in that committee out of respect for the work she put in. I know we have a very sympathetic board in general, and I suspect that any reasonably put forth position is going to receive support of the board. So I won't be voting for this, but I do respect that the report should be heard on that.
Okay, unless
I call the question.
Okay, the question's been called for. It's been seconded, but if there's no further discussion, I can move right to a vote.
So state the question and precisely.
Okay, very precisely. She moved that agenda item 5C be moved to immediate consideration ahead of agenda item 3. All in favor of that motion, raise your cards.
After I can.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Opposed?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
It requires
two-thirds,
I believe.
It does require two-thirds to adjust the agenda. But our courtesy...
Abstention.
Oh, I'm sorry, abstention.
Abstention. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Right.
5. You need a card, too.
Oh, Lamont.
Yes. Welcome in. Lamont gave me
the card.
Oh, here's the sample package.
Okay,
yes.
Now people,
yes.
We need to move right ahead. And unless there's any objection, we will try to get Marie's comments before she has to leave.
Yes.
Good.
Let's go to agenda item 4. All right, Jan.
I would like to make a motion that, and I think that this is something that we should consider deeply at a different time, and that is that when people are here at a meeting, that they be able to vote prior to their leaving in such instances as my motion is that when people are here and they have to leave, that they be able to vote on things that are on the
agenda. Okay, I'm going to rule the motion out of order on this basis. That I think it's legitimate to be concerned about that. It's not part of our agenda today. I believe it will be very time-consuming. So I'm going to rule it out of order and ask the member to make a formal motion to that effect at the next meeting.
Or to the structure committee.
Or refer it to structure.
Okay, I would make a motion to refer this to structure right now.
That's right. Are you ready to do that?
Item number 4.
Okay, wait, excuse me. I could interrupt just to read this. I'm actually going to read who won this election.
I'm going to say you let her finish. Get in the
room. Oh, I'm sorry.
And go on.
I'm sorry. Oh, well, well I pulled this out of order. So now you have another. Go ahead, Jen.
I just moved that it be considered by the structure committee.
You don't
need a motion.
No, I don't think we need a motion. I believe that should come to the structure committee. But
written form.
Yes. So that, can you please, write up that motion? Lydia is the convener. We actually have an elected chair. Lydia Brazon is the convener, and I can also take it. I'm a member of the committee, and there are others here. And the Structure Governance Committee will deal with that at this next meeting. I'm actually going to read the results of the election, but I'm not going to read the vote counts and so on. It's certified by our Special Election Task Force. The treasurer who has been elected is Casey McFaul. Stella. We're very anxious to continue to have you in all of the stuff that we're working on when we're talking to you.
And I like your comments when you call in.
The individual elected secretary is Carol Neely. Congratulations. And others have real support, so it's clear that everyone has support, and certainly we're going to be involving you very closely, and you're going to be freed up to actually get involved in the
debate.
You've
got to help her do the thing anyway.
That's right. So, to all candidates, many, many thanks to you. We're going to move right ahead with this meeting because we're behind schedule. And many thanks to the election working group that was unfortunately. By unanimous consent, a resolution of I think people want you talking more and writing less. They want your analysis. And our apologies, the working group wanted to address this meeting before the vote. And there was the issue of a possible new candidate and so on, and we got sidetracked there. But the voting went well, notwithstanding the fact that the working group did not explain to us the procedure. We are now at agenda item 3. Four, Pacifica National Board. Four of our members are directors, and I'm going to turn it over to the directors. They meet as our representatives to the Pacifica National Board. Who is going to open up the report? Now, excuse me, let's go back to Sherna. Sherna's suggestion was that we all read the written report, and that will be the basis for the oral report. It would be David, Julie, Donna,
Maria,
and Maria, who has left. Those are our four directors. David, now I'm going to ask the timekeeper to begin this a timing here, and which of the directors is going to speak first?
You always let him.
Alright, the chair recognizes David. Would you please give David your attention?
He's got
I passed around the report. I'll be emailing it to people and all, so email the minutes to the meeting so that everybody has it, and we'll post it up on the email with C-List, so it'll be publicly accessible.
You know, there's a lot of murmuring in the room. It's impossible to really have focus here.
So there's a couple of items. The first two items are just technical items about how committee meetings were scheduled, but we didn't hold them because there was a problem with notice and quorum and blah, blah, blah. The secretary resigned, and Leilani Duarte, the EV's assistant, is going to take over those duties once we work out how to deal with the fact that she can't do them during in-person meetings because she has other responsibilities. The big news of the weekend was the resignation of the executive director, Dan Coughlin, and it was a shock, actually. He said that he's going to be gone within 90 days. He clarified that. I think his preference is to turn it over within 30 to 60 days, but he would extend it not later than 90 days. A committee was formed, an executive search committee was formed, that comprises one member from each signal area and one PMB member, and then it was asked that there be two GMs on the committee, and I made the motion that they be non-voting members, and that is approved. It also includes the executive director, and I didn't write this. Actually, you see there's no period there because I was rushing and trying to look up whether we added the CFO to it.
I think
the CFO is on it as a non-voting member. There was discussion
about...
Are you
going to be eating about someone?
Yes. So there's a nine-member committee, and the members that were elected were from our single area, Maria Armudi. Actually, I was elected, but then I withdrew because there were no women on the committee. So Maria was elected. Julie is the alternate. Bob Letter was elected from WDAI. Mark Roberts from ran unopposed from WPFW. And Mike Martin ran unopposed from KPFT. And that means essentially that they have the agreement of their local delegations. And just so people understand, the way committee assignments work on the board is they you have one member from each single area, which means it's an IRB election. So the local delegation can control that membership by agreeing amongst itself to only put forward one candidate. But anytime you have two candidates, the board is a whole vote, and so the board controls that. So it's just an interesting little thing. Maria Armudia. And from KPFA is Savvy Sala. I gave out all the copies that I had with me. I was running late. It took longer to print than I expected. There are some in the audience. And I think there's like 20 copies or 15 copies for board. People can share them. Anyhow, just to clarify what that committee is doing, there was some discussion about, well, is this committee going to choose the executive director? I mean, you should know that there's going to be a two-step process, the selection of an interim executive director and then a process for choosing a permanent one. And at least some of the informal discussion was centered around, should it be somebody already inside the foundation, or should we go to a nonprofit consulting firm like Choice Point and ask them to gather recommendations for somebody who would just be a caretaker ED who professionally does such things but is not necessarily involved internally to Pacifica. Other questions the committee is going to have to work out is, for example, whether the interim person should be a candidate, should be able to be a candidate for the permanent position, because the history of Pacifica is interims turn into permanents because of the advantage that confers. But the discussion was that members of the board didn't want this committee to actually do the deal. So whatever this committee decides is going to come to the board as a recommendation. They have not been empowered to take any action. What they've been asked to do is develop a procedure for dealing with all of these things and come back to the board with that, and then the board will vote possibly to empower them or somebody else for the job of A, deciding how to get an interim director, and then in the longer term how to get a permanent one. A lot of discussion at the meeting centered on the suspension of Paul Di Rienzo by the WBI LSB for 6 months. And the background on that is that Mr. Di Rienzo had been disruptive and many people testified abusive, and some people claimed he was making racist statements, etc. And the board, the WBI LSB noted the provision in Robert's rules that allows for suspensions for a time, and took that based on a simple majority vote. And based on that provision, voted to suspend Di Rienzo from membership for a period of 6 months. And the board was asked to vote to rescind that. There are a whole bunch of technical issues that are being dealt with by the governance committee, and ultimately the matter was referred back to the governance committee. I will say that the governance committee majority voted, I think it was 5-3 with one abstention, not to recommend rescinding the suspension. There's some technical issues. The issue is that the bylaws say that where the bylaws don't say something, Robert's rules. And so they said, well, the bylaws describe a procedure for expulsion, which has notice requirements and 2/3 majority, but Roberts has a suspension procedure that's much less stringent. Other people have since noted that Roberts also says the committee, and the LSB is a committee of the board, cannot discipline members, only the main assembly does. So there's some critiques being brought on that point. But the main point on this has to do with a subtext, which is about the sort of local powers of force and not wanting the PNB to be the place where when minorities don't get what they want on local boards, they come to the national board and ask the national board to intercede on issues that many national board members didn't recognized, and then the meetings boil up and they become all about those issues, and it's this tricky power thing that goes on in Pacifica, and at some level it's the states' rights versus federal rights kind of argument, and so it's very, very tough, particularly when local board majorities seem to want to be bending rules or doing certain sorts of things, but if the national board gets into it, it's a mess. So I consider this a mess, it's an ongoing mess. There's no question based on the recordings that Mr. DiVienzo was doing things that that were really out of line. Digital conversion. All the stations have the ED reported that all the stations are put into CCD for money to do conversion to HD radio. And this is a technology that's being developed by a single company, Ubiquiti, that a consortium of radio stations, actually I think Clear Channel, Infinity, I think ABC and possibly NBC, a number of radio station owners have invested in this company. They've come up with a technology that supposedly can give you a second stream, but there are a lot of technical issues in that. The coverage area is weaker. When you get to lower signal area for the digital signal, you get bigger dropouts. You have to have new equipment that's going to be expensive to have. And personally, I think MP3 downloads are going to be much bigger than any HD radio. But the point is that the stations, the way the commercial broadcasters have not adopted this, interestingly, even though they're the investors in the company. And so one of the things that's going on is I think that they're trying to get pubcasters to adopt in order to create a market before they move. And the way they're doing that is by getting CBD to offer money for the conversion. Now, CBD doesn't offer enough money to do it. Dan's estimate is that it'll be $350,000 network-wide to do this conversion. But that doesn't count all the staff time that's involved and all the rest of it. There are a whole lot of technical issues associated with it, but it's the kind of thing like during the dot-com boom where people who didn't understand the technology all thought, well, we've got to be on the Internet. And they made big investments to be there without completely understanding it. And a lot of people, there was this new development of technology, but a lot of companies went bankrupt. I was very concerned with the notion that the technology committee last year voted in support of a statement saying we have serious reservations about it. Essentially, the technology committee said, let's not do this right now without further study. Then we heard that the stations were moving ahead with applying for funding, and we're concerned that once you get that funding, which they're giving away like handing, it's going to be, hey, let's go do this thing. And obviously, there's going to be a marketing pitch to the decision makers. So I've got a motion that the issue of the implementation of the HD radio goes before finance and technology committee to consider the questions and make recommendations to the board before the technology is implemented. Implementation must be approved by the PNB before implementation. There was some discussion by the ED, look, I don't want to get held up by committees that don't meet. So it was agreed that if the committee doesn't meet, then they can go ahead and the executives can bring it directly to the board, but at least now the board has to approve it before it happens. I'm still concerned about it. In my report is the revision of the resolutions on regular reporting of financial data to the National Finance Committee. It's been a wrangling point for a long time, and one of the issues is that there are people who feel that the reporting requirements are onerous. Some staff have been apparently given to understand that we're asking for their personal information. Well, we heard from one member of the national office who, during public comment, said, I don't want you knowing about
my medical records.
My social security.
And my medical records.
It's always been the national staff, not the state.
Well, the point being that we're not asking for that, and it's interesting that staff are under the impression that we are. But there's been a lot of wrangling over what kind of information we can get and how detailed it is, and it's part of this other subtext about relative powers, whether you're micromanaging, whether people are harassing specific staff that they don't like, et cetera, et cetera. So the National Finance Committee negotiated with the Administrative Council, actually just the general managers, on revisions of the motions that we passed in December, and I'm not going to go through it. They're in the report. But basically, for example, rather than getting a specific headcount with the name of people and how much they were paid each month so we can track how that expenditure is going, instead we're going to get FTEs, that stands for full-time equivalent, which says, okay, there's this number of positions, and here's how much got spent. We're going to get, for most of these things, instead of monthly reporting, quarterly reporting, broken out monthly. At least I specified that. I hope that that's in the actual text. It is, I believe, on some of them. Yeah, monthly review of this information, and in any event, a quarterly review. So it varies motion by motion. The point is that you can, we have a gross salaries number, the FTEs, we can figure out how much that is, we subtract one from the other, if there's a discrepancy you can ask. This is just the information we get automatically. So there was a whole series of these things, we relaxed some of the reporting requirements, it should be good enough. The board just spent a lot of time on it, hopefully this is going to make a lot of things easier. There was also, the National Finance Committee reported on the anti-racism and diversity resolutions, what the cost would be. We presented the report on how much that would cost, and I can get that to people. The other thing is the budget. The TMB had approved the budget but asked for a couple of modifications to be made, and in the Finance Committee, we were getting a budget that actually, the budget that we were comparing our actuals to had never been approved by the TMB. So the PNB approved this revised budget finally, and we agreed to reporting. There's one interesting item in there, which I think Casey's going to talk about in the Finance Committee report, which relates to a $39,000 change in our projected revenue. In other words, how much money we were supposed to bring in this year. The reason that's relevant is because if we have a surplus over what our budget was, we get to spend it on other things, presumably, pending whatever we agreed to.
We mean the station.
The station. Well, there's no other station that I'm aware of with a significant surplus. I don't think anybody's really much ahead. DFW might have a little extra. But in any case, so I still am not fully clear on it. Now, the PMB approved this $39,000 adjustment, and what we're being told is that there was revenue from last, there was some error, there was revenue from last year that wasn't accounted for last year, and so got put in this year's budget, and therefore this budget number should be $39,000 higher. And again, Casey will address it. I still have questions about it, but it has been approved by the PMB, so that's our budget as of right now. And that's about it for my report. Donna has a report on a couple of the other committees, and I don't know if Maria has anything to add.
Okay, I just want to make a few short comments. First of all,
Donna, can you speak up a little more?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a few comments about the PNB because it was, you have to understand that the chair of the PNB, Ambrose Lane, was sick from Los Angeles until, in fact, he had pneumonia. He had to get a clearance from his doctor to come, and without a strong chair, things just don't function. And so the committees were very, very slow in getting together. You know, in fact, what happened is a lot of the committee met on the first day when we decided that we couldn't meet until 6 o'clock in the evening, which was good that we finally met. But I was troubled because we didn't have the direction that we needed, and to my knowledge, we don't have the meeting minutes from the PNB from New York, I think, right?
Yeah, we do have them.
We do have them?
Right here.
New York?
New York? Yeah, aren't these?
From New York?
Not from LA, we don't. Is that what you meant? We have from New York.
Okay, from the PNB that we just attended.
Yeah.
Okay.
That sent out 2 days after.
Oh, wonderful. Well, he's gone, but anyhow. Okay, so, and then we have the secretary of the PNB. He resigned, too. So all of these things, when you don't have your officers in place and leading, you know, really leading, it really hurts, and it showed. And I'll bring that I have had a motion into the PNB for 2 years now, to hire an administrative assistant to, first I said to the chair, but now I said to the PNB, because I honestly think the administrative assistant could help push a lot of this forward. And now Lalani has offered to be the secretary for a stipend. I mean, we're going to pay anyhow. We should have an administrative assistant. Okay. I also want to mention that this thing with Paul DiRozenzio took up a lot of time, and it took up a lot of public comment. People were actually really, you know, battling it out. What impressed me, however, nothing was decided as far as I know. You know, they brought it to the PNB for some kind of resolution, and we did not act on it. They also, Robert Knight was also on the agenda. We never even addressed the Robert Knight firing. Okay, but, oh, suspension, okay, whatever he was doing. I don't know. But on the very last day, this really impressed me, when we only had a half of the day and we were running to catch planes, then people decided from the audience to bring forth some real concerns. You know, and I'm going, well, why didn't you do that before? Okay, but anyhow, that's what happened. The coordinating committee did not meet. Because it did not meet, they couldn't address the issue, I believe, of directors' rights to examine the record. Okay. I've got a little comment on, okay, let's go down. The personnel committee, we only met, no we didn't, we met before, but there was a lot of dissension in the personnel committee. The only thing we really, and the